Is it important for us to believe or not believe? Does it matter, Pastor, if I believe? It matters because your spirit, you don't even realize it, your spirit is open to when you believe. That God wants you to have it. God wants to prosper you. Your spirit is open. That's the faith realm. And you begin to see breakthroughs of the breakthroughs, miracle of the miracle, blessings of the blessings, when in the natural there's none. God is a spirit. God brought forth the visible world. Amen. Everything visible came from the invisible. Amen. God calls those things that are not in the physical realm yet as though they are there. It's prosperity with a purpose that God wants us to see, that we can be a blessing to many.
Child of God, you don't have to be afraid when the world is going through a time of famine. You can have strong confidence in your Heavenly Father's promise to provide and care for you. In today's encouraging message by Joseph Prince, find unshakable assurance that the Lord is taking care of all your needs through His limitless supply. Inflation, recession, and global instability. It's easy to be fearful in the face of the current economy, but in these challenging times, you can take heart in God's promise to take care of you and your family. Receive Joseph's 2-sermon series, Blessed to be a Blessing, for your gift of any amount to the ministry to encourage yourself in the Lord today. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to get yours now. And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
I was reading a book and I came across this verse. I think probably one of the first times I came across that verse. I was a very young man then. And it says, and Joseph was sold into Egypt and Potiphar bought him. He was a slave. And it says, Joseph was a prosperous man. And all that he did, God made him to prosper. Maybe I like that verse when I read it because it's the same name. Right? So I said that, wow. It began to occur to me, wait a minute. Whatever that means for this Joseph in the Bible, I want it. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. God is not for prosperity, health, wealth, gospel, all that. You can say whatever you want, but when the Bible talks about that, I want that. Do you want that?
Yes.
He was a prosperous man, and whatever he did, God made it to prosper. Oh, Pastor, that means everything Joseph did, it prospered spiritually in the spiritual world. All right, if it is, I take that. Can I? But, you know, doesn't stand to reason that it is spiritual prosperity because the Bible says Potiphar saw. Potiphar is a heathen, as heathen as heathen can be. And he saw that the Lord was with Joseph. He saw, I said saw, the Lord was with Joseph. And what he did, God made it to prosper. So maybe he, as he plants the crops, his crops are all bumper crops. As he takes care of the servant, whatever new assignment, takes care of the servants are now highly motivated. Whatever he did, he prospered. And his boss then, Potiphar, noticed that. That finally he put him in charge of everything. I want that. I want that. Is it okay? That I can be a blessing. Now, was that a curse to Joseph? No, it was preparing him for the ministry that God has, that he will save many people alive. Friend, your relationship with God is number one, prosperity. Your relationship with God is number one,
Amen.
Prosperity.
Amen.
To be right with God, would you say that's prosperous?
Yes.
A true prosperous man? And that's what we receive. Amen. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ. For God made Jesus to be sin for us at the cross. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's a gift. I didn't do anything to be righteous. Jesus didn't do anything to become sin. He took my sin. Now I take His righteousness. It's a divine exchange. Amen. We receive by grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the more we believe it, now it's not enough to know it. You got to confess it because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, we having the same spirit of faith. Now the quotation there is from Psalms. It's saying that we having the same spirit of faith, that faith of David. Right? We having the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. It's not enough just to believe. You got to speak. The Bible says in Romans 4, Abraham was like God. Because God quickens the dead and calls those things that are not as though they are. The Bible says that's what we are to be. Call those things that are not as though they are. That are not what? Not visible, not sensible to touch, right? Nothing that you can hear or whatever. Yet, it will always come out in the flesh, in the realm, like this building. Amen. Now we can see it. Now we can feel it. Now we can look at it. We can take pictures of it, right? But it came out of faith. Amen. When there was nothing. Amen. But faith, like God is a spirit, God brought forth the visible world. Amen. Everything visible came from the invisible. Amen. So think about it, people. God calls those things that are not in the physical realm yet as though they are there. Isn't it? It's prosperity with a purpose that God wants us to see, that we can be a blessing to many. So the first thing we need to establish, you got to believe. Why? Why must we believe? Is it important? I said just now. Is it important for us to believe or not believe? Does it matter, Pastor, if I believe? It matters because your spirit, you don't even realize it. Your spirit is open to, when you believe that God wants you to have it, God wants to prosper you. Your spirit is open. That's the faith realm. And you begin to see breakthroughs of the breakthroughs, miracle of the miracle, blessings of the blessings, where in the natural there's none. Are you listening, people? Now, we are heading in tough days, all right? Genesis 26, Abraham's son Isaac. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Say famine. Say famine. So famine is a time of lack, okay? Now, this famine is bad, okay? That means there's not enough to eat. Your crops cannot grow. And the Bible goes on to say it was a famine that was severe, just like the time of, if you keep on reading, it's the time of Abraham, which was severe. And the time of Joseph, it was also severe. Whenever famine comes into the world, so first of all, we see that famine does come periodically to the world. Okay? So what makes this famine something we can learn from for today? And when you read the Bible, like I told you, in the lesson on how to study the Bible, is that a lot of things written in the past, in the stories in the Old Testament and all that, are tupos, types for us to learn today. In other words, God put them there because it's so relevant. It speaks to us today. Are you with me so far? So first, we establish already that we are Abraham's seed, right? It says, if you are Christ, are you Christ? Yes. Turn to your neighbor and ask, are you Christ? Christ belong to Christ, that is, are you someone belonging to Christ? Are you Christ? Right? If you are Christ, then what? You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. Amen. So you are the heir according to the promise. So the clearest picture of a direct seed of Abraham, we know the seed above all the seed that God is referring to is Christ. And if you are Christ, you are in Him. As He is, so are we. You see? Right? So you're Abraham's seed. But a direct illustration of that is Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham, the promised seed, all right? That came finally. So this story of Abraham's son, Isaac, dealt with the famine, okay? Now, many of you know the story, but, you know, the Holy Spirit is bringing it into a new light. Okay, so back to Genesis 26, drop down. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands. Now perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." So the first thing God said to Abraham's seed, all of you, don't go down to Egypt. What does that mean? When famine happens, don't give up on God's ways and use the world's ways. Amen. And remember this, every time it says about Egypt, it is always go down. Now, the world will offer you a lot of things. Immediate gratification. And we got a whole generation of people who want quick money. They want quick returns. They're not interested in he that gathers by labor shall increase. They're not interested in honoring the boss and the company, which is the spirit of what Colossians writes about, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. Okay, so God told Isaac, I bless you, right? Bless you. Okay, look at the bless. Dwell in this land, I'll be with you and I'll bless you. The word there is Barak. Barak. Now, what is Barak? The noun is God, like God told Abraham, I'll bless you and you shall be a blessing. I will Barak you and you will be a Baraka. The value of Baraka, you shall be a blessing. So blessing is the noun, right? Barak is the verb, okay? So this is Barak. What is Barak? So I say, God will bless you in every area of your life. Amen. Where it really matters, number one, relationship with God. Amen. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. The blessing of Abraham has come on us. Amen. Hello? Amen. Real quick, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the blessing, okay, Christ has redeemed us. Who is us? You and I. All right? We have been ransomed from what? The curse of the law. We are not under the curse of the law. Amen. Even though we're not perfect, we're not under the curse of the law. Okay, why? Because, by the way, it cannot mean anything but that we're not perfect. Why? Because if you say, Pastor Prince, it's only for people who are keeping the law, it makes no reason why is there a curse for him. Why should there be a curse for someone who's keeping the law? It only means something when people are not perfect. Right? But he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And notice the purpose, that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of what? Abraham, might come on the Gentiles, that's you and I, non-Jews, through Jesus Christ. How? Through faith. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Do you see that? So the blessing of Abraham, the blessing that brings every blessing is righteousness of faith. God has made you righteous with Him. You're so close, your position before God right now is so near Him. Say so near. So near. You're so near, nearer you cannot be. For in the person of His Son, you are as near as He. Amen. Now, Barak includes blessing in the area of prosperity in terms of material things as well. Is that in the Bible? Okay, you say, Pastor Prince, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. Okay, he says my opinion. Let's go to a scholar, a Hebrew scholar. This time, not Mounts. I find somebody else. The New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology. Sounds fancy? These are scholars who are reputed, who write this kind of books. See what he says. Basically, Barak, eulogia, by the way, eulogia is the Greek for blessing. Bless. All right? So, left is Old Testament Barak, New Testament is eulogia. Same meaning, okay? Like you say a eulogy, right? It's from the Greek word eulogia. Eu, good, logia, word, okay? It's together it becomes blessing. Basically, Barak, the Hebrew word Barak means endue with beneficial power. When God blesses you, listen, in this time of famine, when God blesses you, you are endued with beneficial power. To effect all these things in your life, the nature of the blessing is that of the conferring and transference of beneficial power. Beneficial, say beneficial power, all right? Which produces fertility in men and in livestock and lands. Would you say that back in those days, Barak, because it's translating for the Old Testament blessing of the Israelites and all that, in what way does it manifest? Because they are all people involved in husbandry, in farming, right? They grow grapes, vine grapes and figs and olive trees and all that. The more they have, the more they prosper. And they have flocks as well. So the more fruitful their flock is, what happens? They prosper. So here it says, all right, this blessing works vertically in the continued growth of succeeding generations. Horizontally, it affects peace, security from enemies. Think of that. Good fortune and well-being. What does that mean? Well-being. Does that mean that you are always sick, always tired, no energy, depressed? Is that well-being? No. Well-being for a tribe or group expressed most comprehensively in the concept shalom, well-being again. So, Barak and Shalom is very close. Can you see that? All right, if this book is not enough, let me show you another book. This is a theological workbook of the Old Testament. Your Grace Academy has started. All right? This is your theological workbook of the Old Testament. Now watch this. To bless in the Old Testament means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fecundity, and longevity. You know what's fecundity? It means you are very fruitful, plenty of children. How many want blessing? Fecundity. How many want fecundity? Okay, at least you know you are fecund. You want to have a lot of effect or not, never mind. All right? You are fecund. All right? Fecundity means having a lot of children. That means you are very fruitful, fecundity. For the animals, like the sheep that they raise, the goats and the cows and all that, when they have fecundity, they have plenty of offspring, which increases the wealth of those people in those days. But in our context, what does it mean? Our business, our ministry flourishes, increases. See, God doesn't think that when these things increase, they're a curse. I have to close with this. I need you to see this. This is very important. Okay? Did Jesus take the curse of poverty on himself on our behalf at the cross? So that verse you all know, and some people here are well established in it, but you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Right? So here, stand alone, you can say, oh, spiritually rich, spiritually poor. You can say it that way. And who is there to argue? But everything must be translated in context. Remember what we said about how to study the Bible? Must be translated in context. This is talking about physically, even physically, he was destitute. They gambled for his clothes at the foot of the cross. One of the things he carried for us, of course, first and foremost, he carried our sins. Praise the Lord. But the Bible also says he carried our diseases. Amen. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. With his stripes, we are healed. But he also carried our poverty. Because there is no lack in heaven. We walk on streets of gold. Something is very wrong with heaven. You won't feel comfortable going there. You will tell God, God, I think this is a bit grandiose. Tone it down. We don't want people to say of you, God, that you believe in the health and wealth gospel. Okay? Something is wrong. When Jesus says, pray this way, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. No lack, no lack. Supply, supply. Okay, I gotta put this through. The context is important. This verse 9, right? Look at the verses before. He's talking, Paul is saying, I bear them witness according to their ability. Beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Talking about the people in Macedonia, church, Christians in Macedonia, imploring us with much urgency that we receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. See? Come on, giving. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would complete this grace in you as well. Giving is a grace, he says. All right, these people in Macedonia, they encourage us to take a gift to the poor saints in Jerusalem, the poor Christians in Jerusalem. They're asking us, they're imploring us to take the gift. So we're going to send Titus to prepare you're in Corinthian. You're going to have a part to play in this, that Titus can finish the grace, this grace in you. Giving is a grace gift.
Amen.
Amen. And then, look at this. He said, as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. What? Giving grace. Amen? Drop down. I speak not by commandment. I'm testing the sincerity of your love, whether you give or not. It's not by commandment, but I test the sincerity of your love. Amen? By the diligence of others. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? This is before this verse. After this verse, still on money. And this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must also complete the doing of it. Give the money. You promised to give the money to the poor saints, Corinthian church. Now fulfill it. It's all about giving. And smack dab in the middle is that Jesus became poor that you might be rich. I said Jesus became poor that you might be rich. Translate in the context. By the way, this is chapter 1, 8. You know chapter 9? Chapter 9 goes on, talk the context here. And this is the one we use always. Verse 6, this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's all one thought. From Jesus becoming poor at the cross, now you are rich. Act like it. Never say you don't have anything to give. Gives. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Amen. Amen. Time is up, man. Oh, real fast. God is able to make all grace. Shout all grace.
All grace.
Abound. Say abound.
Abound.
Towards who? Towards who?
Towards
you. Yeah, I can say me. Towards you.
Amen.
That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Isaac. So God says, stay in this land, I'll bless you. All right, drop down. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Don't you just love that? How much did he reap? And what year was it?
Famine.
You know what is in front of him when he sowed? We shall see the land. It was severe famine. You know what the land looked like? Nah, like this. All right, just imagine. Here's seed, all right? You're asked to sow in this land. Would you? You got to do it by faith. I say you got to do it by faith. Your mind is saying, there's no way this seed will sprout. No way. Famine. Not enough water. The ground has lost its nutrients. That's necessary. It's just like dust. It takes faith. Sowing takes faith. It's easier to look at the stock market and say, a lot of my money can go there. Because it looks green. Potential, naturally, logic, everything's good. Oh, this investment, everything. You know, today we decide where our money goes based on the greenery and the logic. But when you look at this, no way you will invest. And God says, look at gospel ground. You say, what does it do for me? For you, gospel ground is just like dry. Stock market, crypto, and whatever, okay? Now, I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm not saying that, all right? The Lord may lead you into this, whatever it is, go ahead. I'm just saying this is not the main system of God. And if you're involved in it and you are really stressed out and you're always in strife, it's not God. If you're in it, you're in rest, but your mainstay is always tithing, trusting the Lord. That's cool. All right? But when you look at gospel ground, it looks like this. And God says, so, this is what Isaac sowed. It's a year of famine. Don't forget, that's how the ground looks. Go back to the verse again. But Isaac sowed. Is that faith? Do you think he did it by faith or by logic? And reap in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper. Okay, yeah? It's not enough, okay? And continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I call these 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. All in the same year, no? He reaped in the same year 100-fold. And it tells you who is behind it. The Lord blessed him. The Bible says the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. He put the diamonds, the amethysts, the rubies, the sapphires, the gold in this earth. When he came, he divested himself of all that. And on that cross, he died. He died like a poor man with nothing. Why? Was he poor? In and of himself? No. He did it for you. It's part of the redeeming work, the atoning work, that he bare our sins and you receive his righteousness. He bare your disease, you receive his healing and health. At the cross, he was rejected that you might be accepted. He said, my God, at the cross, that you might say, my Father, my Father. And he also bore your poverty. Are you receiving his riches?
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. In Joseph Prince's 2-sermon series, Blessed to be a Blessing, be encouraged as you see from Scripture how it is your Heavenly Father's heart to be your unshakable source of supply. Receive your copy for a gift of any amount to the ministry in support of our broadcast and other outreach initiatives. For a gift of $75 or more, we will also send you Joseph's Supply Greater Than Demand book and the Experience Health, Protection, and Provision 3-Sermon CD series. Build your life upon his unwavering promise to bless you and begin to thrive in times of famine. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request yours today. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Amen. Lift your hands all across this place. This coming week, Father, protect your people, Lord, throughout this week. Protect their children, all their loved ones, I pray, throughout this week. And Father, bless them richly, Father, and especially, Father, in this area where we are studying, grant them, Father, true revelation from you about how much you want them blessed. For the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, you declared in your word. Praise God. But all of you begin to prosper from this day forth in the name of the Lord Jesus because you are believing right. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
I want to take a moment to thank a very special group of people, Grace Legacy Builders. You know who you are. You're the ones who make this possible. Because of your generosity, lives are changed, bondages broken, and families set free from decades of wrong belief. Every praise report we receive, and we get many every day, is a testimony of God's grace and a testament of your faithful support of our ministry. Thank you for making a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you greatly.
Be a Grace Legacy Builder today. Your giving powers our ability to keep sending the gospel of grace to the world. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to start building.
Introducing Grace Academy.
If you've ever had questions about how to walk in grace or what it means to live by grace, this is the place where you'll find answers on how to live a life that's anchored on our Lord Jesus.
Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you navigate some of life's hardest questions. Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.